Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Not much in the way of announcements. I do thank all of you for tuning in and watching the videos. Remember, our website is sunnyv.net/CPC/. We are going to try in 2 weeks, which will be the first weekend of May, to start back service. We'll have just Sunday morning to start off, no Sunday school. And we will also not have children's church or nursery for the first couple weeks and see how that goes. So hopefully in 2 weeks we will be able to get started back to kind of normal services. We will continue to video until things are back to normal. And then if the views are still up, we'll continue to post the videos. If there's nobody watching, there's no sense in posting the videos. So however the Lord wants to use it, we'll use it. As long as we're continuing to get people watching, we'll continue to post them. And so, but hopefully, and I will be texting all of our church members to let you know for sure, but barring any outbreaks or anything, in 2 weeks we will have our Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock here. And so, also in May, we're going to try and do a work day. But I'll let all of you know when that's going to happen. And so let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for all your blessings, for all that you're doing in our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that you would continue to protect us, that you would continue to grant us wisdom and guidance, Lord, in our everyday decisions. We pray for healing for all those that are sick. Lord, I pray for repentance for this nation. Lord, that it would be a true repentance, that we would understand our need to turn away from the things of this world, to turn away from sin, and Lord, turn our lives over to you. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon this service. I pray that you would anoint Mitzi and Kyle as they're about to lead us in praise and worship. I pray that you would anoint me as I deliver the message. Father, I pray that you would use this to reach many, Lord, that their hearts would turn back to you. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou in home. Thou art, then sings my soul.
Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.
What I'd like to talk to you about today is suffering. I've been out of my routine, haven't been working as much and doing different things, and it's funny because I'm such a creature of habit. I like doing the same things over and over, that when you get out of your routine, it kind of messes with you a little bit. And like even in my prayer time and study time and hearing from the Lord, these last few weeks have really messed with me on being in a routine, and I'll find myself getting busy at home and not even be at work, and the evening comes and I've not read my Bible, I've not even really prayed like I should, and then I'm sitting there at 8 o'clock at night going, uh-oh, how did this day get away from me? And so I thought I was going to preach on one thing today, but I wasn't sure. And yesterday afternoon, Acts 9:15-16 came to my thoughts, and just about suffering. And so I know that some of you are suffering a great deal, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual. Some of you are suffering mightily, and that there's others of us that we haven't lost our jobs. We haven't been sick, and our suffering is, well, we're not able to hang out with our friends. Well, that's nothing in comparison to those that are really sick, those that are struggling financially, but it still can have an effect on you. And Acts 9:15-16 says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" He was talking about Saul, who would become Paul there. And I've always found that verse very interesting. "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." I don't know about y'all, but that's a word that I don't like to hear very often. I want a quick fix. I don't like to hear that I'm going to have to suffer for God's name. But it's obvious here by the Word of God that we will face trials, we will face suffering in our life, and it's not fun going through it. And for many people today, they want such a quick fix. They want to pop a pill. They want to do something to take away the pain. They don't want to feel anything. They don't want to feel any hurt. They don't want to. There's people I know, and it's so sad because they're going through life so drugged up because they don't want to feel anything. But y'all, part of our walk with God sometimes will include suffering. It's not always blessings. It's not always wonderful and the way that we would hope to be living the American dream. Sometimes there's going to be suffering when you walk with God. God's chosen instrument that he would suffer. Jesus knew all about suffering also. He was beaten, he was pierced, he was hung on a cross. He bore our sins, and we know that he wept. He suffered greatly. Jesus suffered greatly, and in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it references to Jesus' suffering. Hebrews 5, 7 through 10 says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death." Loud cries and tears. Maybe that's been you this week, this month, this year. Loud cries and tears, crying up to your Father in heaven. And it says, "And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He learned obedience through suffering. He learned obedience through suffering, y'all. And that's just amazing to me that we try our best to not suffer. We try our best to not feel any pain, to not hurt. And is it not in suffering that sometimes we can learn the greatest things? In suffering, sometimes that's when we learn our greatest lessons. Like, how many of you remember a nice compliment by somebody? How many of you remember when somebody was super nice to you and held the door open for you at the store? Well, you might have one or two of those instances stand out, but have any of you ever had someone let go of the door and it hit you? Well, you didn't like that, and you probably remembered that. How many of you remember all the times that someone let you in on a busy street of traffic and you just give them the courtesy wave? Oh, thank you for letting me in. Yeah. But how many of you, if someone cut you off, you remember that, right? You remember the pain. So many of us, we remember the pain. I still remember a football coach that said something to me that really hurt my feelings bad. And for any of you that knew me when I was in high school, football was my everything. Football was my God when I was in high school. I loved playing football. And this coach saying this to me hurt me so much, I was ready to quit. But the other coach come along and he could tell something was wrong. And he began to talk to me. And he said, "Don't pay no attention to that guy. He don't even know what he's talking about." And he encouraged me. You know, many times I had encouragement through the years, but the hurt stood out way more than the encouragement. And sometimes the lessons in our lives, we don't learn from the success. We don't learn from the compliments. We don't remember, but what we remember is when we were hurt, when we were criticized, when we were cut down, when we were made fun of, when we suffered greatly. Those moments stand out. Those moments are what really seems to stick with us. I want to go to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And it says, Romans 5, 3 through 5, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering." I know many of you aren't probably following along with your Bibles. A few that are here, I see them looking down, they're following along. But in case you didn't hear that, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in suffering." It doesn't say we take a pill to get rid of it. It doesn't say that we isolate ourselves so we never have to feel hurt, that we never have to feel pain, that we push anybody away that we think could potentially hurt us. No, it says that we rejoice in our suffering because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. You know, when I was younger, I used to like to lift weights. I don't know why. They were heavy. And I don't like to lift weights anymore. But the main reason is they're heavy. And it takes work and it takes perseverance. But the crazy thing about lifting weights is it's just those first couple weeks. If you can get past those first couple weeks, what happens? All at once, you're not quite so sore. And then all at once you're beginning to see results as you're pushing on that bar or curling that bar or squatting down and you're lifting those weights, and all at once after a few weeks of soreness, and then it's a different type of pain. Any of you that's lifted weights, you understand that. The first couple weeks it's a pain of, "Oh, I feel like I can't even move." But then after that it's a pain of, "Wow, I'm getting stronger. I'm seeing results." It hurts at first, but with perseverance, you continue on. And y'all, it's the same with suffering because it produces perseverance. You know how many people, and I was really going to try and keep this sermon short because it takes us hours to download this sermon. But I'm going a little long here, and I'm sorry, but I want you to think about perseverance when God's told you to go to that church. and someone hurts your feelings and you leave. And then you go to another church and someone hurts your feelings and leaves. And the preacher says something that's offended you, or they didn't recognize you when you planted the flowers or when you did something nice. Nobody even told you thank you. And all at once you're always hurt, and then you're suffering in your mind, and you don't endure and you don't persevere. That's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to persevere even through the suffering. And perseverance goes to character, and character to hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You see, it all begins though with the suffering to perseverance, to character, to hope. You know, there's people in my life, there's people here at this church that have been here through good and bad. And those people I trust more than anybody on earth. Because I've seen that they persevered. They didn't abandon ship. They didn't leave when everything was falling apart. They stayed and they persevered. And it's developed character. And they have a hope in them. And they encourage me, and hopefully I encourage them, that I'm not going anywhere and they're not going anywhere, and we're in this together. Suffering, we should be rejoicing in it. Oh, Father, what are You teaching me? What are You showing me? We were talking about Paul, and that's where we began with Ananias. Go and tell this man that all that he must suffer. And as we talked about Paul writes Philippians, and I told y'all, I believe several weeks ago with Philippians to read it if you're going through a hard time. Philippians is always talking about joy, and that I think that in Philippians, in the four chapters of Philippians, that the concept of joy or rejoicing appears something like 16 times. Philippians is written by Paul when he's in a prison cell in Rome. Yet in that prison cell in Rome, he's talking about joy and rejoicing and joy and rejoicing. Some of you today, you might be locked in your apartment. You might be locked in your house, and you might be saying, "Oh, I'm suffering greatly." Y'all, I'd much rather be locked in my house with my recliner and my carpet, and my heat and air, suffering like that than I would a prison cell. That's where Paul's writing this from. And in Philippians 4 through 8, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." That means if you're locked at home, that means if you have a loved one in the hospital, that means that if you're going through a trial, if you're going through something, if you've got wayward children, if your marriage is struggling, if your relationships are struggling, if you've lost your job, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. With an exclamation mark, rejoice! Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. He's near to us when we're suffering. And goes on to say in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving." I was looking back at my notes, and I don't think I ended up referencing it in these videos. Maybe I did, but when we were talking about you of little faith and Jesus healing and Jesus doing all those miracles, well, I don't think I ended up telling the story last week because I've been trying to condense these down a little bit. But when Jesus feeds the thousands with the loaves of bread and the fish, do you remember that He had everybody sit down and He gave thanks? And then the increase came when He gave thanks. And I wonder how many of us, with our prayer and petition, we're always crying out with prayer and petition, but we never give thanks. God, thank You that Your healing's coming. Thank You for the abundance that You provided. Thank You for electricity. Thank You that I have milk. Thank You that I have bread. Thank You that I have a can of beans, if that's all I got. Thank You with thanksgiving. Make your prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And listen to this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Are we trusting in God through our suffering, that we're guarding our hearts and minds with prayer and petition and thanksgiving. One of the topics that I want to talk about, and I've talked about it repeatedly, if you can go back to our website, you can see it throughout the archives, is guarding your mind. Guarding your mind. And that's isn't that where the battle begins for so many of us? It's a thought. It's a look. It's a glance. It's a worry. It's a fret. I've been struggling this week with job and with my job and you know they're having a layoff and do I volunteer to lay off? Do I stay in work? Do I help? Do I not? What do I do? God, what do I do? Prayer, petition with thanksgiving. God, you open the doors that need to be opened. You close the doors that need to be closed. Guarding my mind. And verse 8 talks about that. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, for some of us, we need to turn off the news. For some of us, we need to begin to think about those things that are lovely and pure and righteous and holy and admirable, and quit thinking about fret and fear and terror and what could happen. We want to guard our minds. We want to guard our hearts. We want to be able to stand firm through suffering. Right here's one of the biggest keys. What are you thinking about? Are you offering up prayers? Are you rejoicing? Are you giving thanksgiving? Are you praying? Are you crying out? 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Fixing our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Do we believe that God is able? Do we believe that God can take care of us in our troubles, in our trials, in our hard circumstances? About to finish up. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice." Here it is again. "You greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs and all kinds of trials." You hear that? "You greatly rejoice. Though now for just a little while you've had to suffer griefs and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." You hear that? That in your suffering, we rejoice for just a little while because it's proven to see if your faith is genuine or not. You know, in school, what do? You were taught something and you took a test to see if you knew it or not. And if you didn't know it, you failed. If you knew it, you passed. If you didn't know it, hopefully your teacher went back and explained it to you once again so you could get it right. And you could get it right. But you know what's crazy is now after I've learned math, I don't have to go back and be retaught math every time I do it. Every time I figure my checkbook, I still have a checkbook. I know many people's gone to completely digital, but I still have my checkbook. And you know what? I can add and subtract pretty good. I don't have to go back and be retaught how to add and subtract. Some of you might say, "Pete, my faith is awesome. My faith is good. I don't have to go back and be taught the basics." Well, praise God. But you know what? In this time that we're living in right now, this time of suffering, we're seeing. Let me say that a little differently. You are seeing how genuine your faith really is. I'm not looking at your life. I'm not looking at what you're doing. I'm looking at my own life. And the things, when the fear creeps in on me, when the worry creeps in on me, and I have to stop and say, God, do I trust you or not? I'm being refined. You're being refined. Are you passing the test? Are you passing the test today? That we rejoice that this grief, that these trials, they're only going to be for a short time. But the refiner's fire, is it proving that your faith is genuine? Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What you're going through now, it's not even going to compare to what's coming. When we all get to heaven, right? What a day of rejoicing that'll be. And the trials and the things that you've went through. Can you guys remember a trial you went through last year? Maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? I can't remember how many years ago it was. I think it was about 4 years ago. Man, we were going through a storm at my house. And it was just one thing after another, from physical to spiritual. If I sat here and talked about it too long, I'd probably begin to cry. But you know what? Joy comes in the morning, and I don't think about that stuff every day anymore. It's a moment in my life that when I was going through it, wow, it was a trial and it was tough. But I don't wake up every day and go, well, I remember in 2016, woo! God makes His mercy new every day. And the suffering, the present suffering that you're going through right now, it doesn't even compare with the glory that's coming. 1 Peter 5:10 says, And the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I know sometimes it takes a second to sink in. I'm going to read that one more time. 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, after you've suffered just a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I hope today that in your life, your neighbors, your family, your friends are all looking at you going, wow, that man, that woman, that teen, that child, their faith is so strong. They're so firm. They're so steadfast that in the midst of all this chaos that's going on around us, that they're not wavering. They're still full of joy. They're still full of peace. They're still full of hope. I hope that can be said about you, and I hope that can be said about me. I'm going to end with a prayer, and I'm going to pray for all of you that's suffering, that maybe your faith has been shaken. And I want you to understand that God is able. I had a couple different people that I visited with this past week. And some of them, their faith is shaken. And the only thing they could do is weep. Y'all, my only advice to you would be to seek God. Seek God. Get on your knees. Open up your Bible. Pray that God would speak to you so that your faith may be strong, so that you can rejoice in the middle of the storm, so you can be just like Paul in a prison cell and say more than 16 times, talk about joy or rejoicing. In just four little chapters. Let's pray. Father, I pray for guidance. I pray for the peace that transcends all understanding to guard all of our hearts, all of our minds. Lord, for those that their faith has been shaken, may they truly begin to redirect their mind to get it focused on those things that are lovely, those things that are pure. Those things that are righteous, that we would quit
filling ourselves with the garbage of this world and begin to fill ourselves with Your Word. Lord, for some that we know this week that's even had loved ones that have died and passed away, my heart's so heavy for one family, Lord. And even in the storm of losing a loved one, even in the trials of death, Lord, that we may know that You're there to guide us. That You're there to be with us, to come alongside us. That You'll offer Your peace, that You'll offer Your comfort. Lord, may our faith not waver at this time. May we not look at this time and say, "Where's God?" But may we rejoice and know that through these trials that our faith is truly genuine. That we're truly standing firm, that we're not wavering, that we're seeking You every moment. Be with us now. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name.